Blog Talk Radio.
So basically, the right wingers are appealing to the people. Now, let's listen to this clip and show you how they're able to make Democrats look stupid, and you know themselves look like they are the counterculture, and all it is just, you know, perpetuating the duopoly. But let's just listen. This is Paul Joseph Watson and InfoWars. Just want you guys to just take a listen.
Self-congratulatory speech without vision. He promised unity, but so did division.
Yeah, the only divisive thing I saw last night was your anger-stricken face. You couldn't even bring yourself to half-heartedly applaud a call for unity.
Tonight, I call upon all of us to set aside our differences, to seek out common ground, and to summon the unity we need to deliver for the people we were elected to serve.
But Trump's the one causing division. Bollocks!
Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
I really don't know what you're talking about right now.
Also, did you and Cory Booker have a bet beforehand as to who could look most like they've been smacked across the cheeks with a massive wet fish? You lot can't even applaud record low black unemployment. You're all on your phones when Trump's talking about caring for veterans. But Trump's creating disunity. Yeah, right. Joe Kennedy reacted by swallowing a Tide Pod. Ask not, but your country can drool for you. This guy's reaction looked like he just caught Trump pumping his wife. But he was actually livid about an increase in take-home pay. Chuck Schumer was so triggered it looked like he was being eaten from the inside out. Joe Manchin really wanted to jump on board the Trump train, but Schumer's death stare stopped him in his tracks. Imagine being triggered by the word family.
Church, family, police, military, the national anthem. Trump trying to call on all the tropes of 1950s era nationalism. The goal of this speech appears to be to force the normalization of Trump on the terms of the bygone era his supporters are nostalgic for.
Oh, you're so out of touch. You think the very bedrock principles of America are part of a bygone era. Imagine being triggered by the word God.
Our motto is In God We Trust. Wrong! Our motto has been E Pluribus Unum out of many one.
But to be fair, it was a pretty big mistake on Trump's part to say that In God We Trust is the national motto. US Code 302, In God We Trust is the national motto. Oh wait, he's a CNN analyst. Say no more. Imagine being triggered by the term USA.
I'm a patriot and I love my country, but the way people have been chanting USA lately, especially in response to nationalist hate mongering, sends chills down my spine.
Yeah, if the term USA sends chills down your spine, chances are you're not a patriot. Luis Gutierrez was so butthurt by the USA chant, he had to leave the chamber. He later said Trump's speech was written by the Russians. So you literally fled the room at the sound of USA. But Trump's the traitor, okay. Words leftists were upset at Trump for saying last night, God, church, family, USA, police, military. It's almost like they hate all of the above. Seriously, this dude escaped from the Stalinist dictatorship of North Korea, crawled across China with one hand and one leg to secure his freedom. And you lot have mental breakdowns when people start chanting USA. Get some frigging perspective.
This is a new low.
Taxes, unemployment, illegal immigration, agreed. New lows. People got so angry at the Washington Post, they were forced to change their headline. Here's a reaction you didn't expect. Anti-Trump pollster Frank Luntz apologizing to Trump. It takes class to admit you were wrong. 75% approval. Anecdotal evidence suggesting Trump wowed even some of his haters. Is this really a turning point for America? Don't bet on it.
Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Take it to the bank.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
I really don't know what you're talking about right now.
So look how these Democrats make Trump seem like he's good. You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous, to be honest with you. And they make themselves look so stupid. Now we're going to listen to the Democrat, or excuse me, to the Green Party response as well. But I want you guys to take a listen to this clip. Now this is TYT. This is another controlled opposition. InfoWars is controlled opposition for the right, and Young Turks are controlled opposition for the left. Simple as that. So let's listen to the Young Turks now and their take on this whole thing.
This speech had three elements to it, Trump's State of the Union. Number one was fluff, just cultural trigger words for the right wing. National anthem, flag, God, country, family.
And that's 13.
That's another part of the speech. Religious liberty, Second Amendment, veterans, 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 God, God, God. Okay, that's benign. It's okay. That's how they, what does the right wing call that, virtue signaling, in essence? And so, okay, then the second part was the demagoguery. Boy, he laid it on thick. So he took two poor families whose daughters had been killed, and then when talking about the MS-13 gang members who had killed him, apparently, he called them illegal, unaccompanied alien minors who had come in, an obvious reference to the Dreamers. So the Dreamers have usually had a very positive connotation here in America because they've never broken any laws, otherwise they're not in that category. They're going to college, going to the military. They've done the right things. There's about 800,000 of them at least in the initial batch of Dreamers that are addressed. But instead of taking those positive connotations, he turned it into the ugliest thing you could imagine. And he used, in a sense, emotional porn to do it. He took these family members who it's impossible not to feel grave concern over and great empathy for, and he used their grief to push his demagoguery against millions of people in this country. And so, and then talked about how ICE is going to hunt people down. Look, we've always been against people who broke the law and who committed crimes and obviously who committed murder. Obama was against that. Bush, Clinton, everyone has always been against that. In fact, there is a guy in office who's against the rule of law. It's Donald Trump. Trying to dismantle the FBI, but to then connect those people to the Dreamers was particularly low.
You know, I mean, never in a million years would, because it doesn't work this way. That's not how race works, right? But imagine if he put up a picture of a guy from Vegas, right, and said, you know, and here is another. He brought up these families and suggested that we are in danger from private white male gun owners. Right.
Yeah.
And we would never. That's not. Again, racism doesn't work that way. You do it by picking out a minority. But there is no more likelihood that a Dreamer is going to kill your family than anyone else. But he has decided to associate this grief, or chosen to associate this grief, with sort of these latent feelings that we have that all people who are different, people who are not like us, are going to come and they're going to get us.
So I think that portion of his speech certainly comes from the Stephen Millers of the world, because if you poll Trump voters, if you poll his core base, even a slim majority of his voters are in favor of the protections for these Dreamers. If you look at the American public in general, of course, the majority, a larger majority, are in favor of protecting them. So, you know, that was pandering to the Stephen Miller wing of his supporters, and who knows how it's going to work. But to conflate, like to compare or say that, you know, MS-13 and some of the murders that have occurred as a result of these gang members has anything to do with Dreamers is...
Yeah. And I think you're right about the Stephen Miller point. I just want to point out that it's not like Stephen Miller has to talk a guy like Trump into it.
Right.
That's Trump.
Exactly.
That's what he believes.
Day
one. What he, since day one, since 1983, this is what he believes. This is his view of life.
And one other important line that I think we have to acknowledge is that he kept talking about MS-13 and all that, and then he tried to equate them as if they are what a Dreamer is, and then said, and Americans are Dreamers too.
Yes, that's
saying
right.
To everyone in the audience and in the room, you now get to choose between these Dreamers and the Americans that they are dead set on murdering.
The real Americans. That's right.
And John pointed out during the live show to on Twitter, David Duke, took that line about Americans are dreamers too and said, thank you, Mr. President.
Right.
And so to Anna's point during the live play-by-play that we just did of the speech, you could focus on any group of people and talk about all the different heinous murders that they have committed. For example, recently on the show we talked about Atomwaffen. That is a particular neo-Nazi group that has led to a series.
See, all they're doing is identity politics. Nothing substance, you know, identity politics. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. It's stupid. So on the right, you have the right making fun of the left for being so stupid, and then you got a lot of people wanting to go deal with the right because the left's so stupid, and you got a Green Party who is for the American people. Break up the duopoly, people. This is the problem. Now with all that went down, you know, they were, oh, Trump this, and oh, it's terrible State of the Union, and all he did was say his accomplishments. They are horrible at politics. Now listen to Trump's, and then they flip out about this, but listen to his reaction to the reaction of his State of the Union. Check this out.
Did anybody happen to see the State of the Union address? Right? Okay. So I got good marks. But I said you have the lowest black unemployment in the history of our country. It was like, it was a game. You know, they play games. They were told, don't even make a facial movement. And I'm talking about you have the lowest Hispanic unemployment in the history of our country. This isn't me said, this is the charts, the polls. We have the lowest in the history of our country. Dead silence, not a smile. In fact, there was one guy when I said the lowest African American unemployment, he was sort of clapping. Like, who was that guy? He's a nice guy. I think he was a reverend. And he was, I wouldn't say it was exactly arousing, but he was putting his hands together. And I want to find out who he is. I'm going to send him a letter of thank you. And he was probably severely reprimanded. Don't you think, Rob? I think so, because he was the only one. So that means they would rather see Trump do badly, okay, than our country do well. That's what it means. It's very selfish. And it got to a point where I really didn't even want to look too much during the speech over to that side, because honestly, it was bad energy. No, it was bad energy. You're up there. You've got half the room going totally crazy, wild. They loved everything. They want to do something great for our country. And you have the other side, even on positive news, really positive news, like that, they were like death. And un-American. Un-American. Somebody said treasonous. I mean, yeah, I guess why not? Can we call that treason? Why not? I mean, they certainly didn't seem to love our country very much. But you look at that, and it's really very, very sad.
Now, people are going to listen to that last point. Is treasonous? He was making a joke that they don't love their country, so you might as well call it treasonous, because when you go against the country, it's treason. Now, they're going to try to spin that. But look how he came out to rebut it. Politically, Trump is kicking the crap out of the Democrats. Now, let's listen to the Green Party response. Now, this is Jill Stein. Under the influence of David Cobb, and we need to get her out from under him, in my view, but here is the Jill Stein and the Jamal Baraka response. Now, I'm going to go through it a little bit because it's like an hour-long clip, but I want you to hear some of the key points. Here we go.
Good evening, friends, fellow Americans, and citizens of the planet. Welcome to the Green State of the Union. where we will take stock of what the state of our union really is. And I dare say it is not safe, strong, and proud America. I would say it is an America in revolt, an America that is standing up for justice and for transformation. You might note we didn't hear the word justice mentioned once, nor the word equality, nor poverty, nor peace. What we heard basically was a distressing and dystopian vision of a world at perpetual war and paying an incredible price for that at home. So we'll be talking about the real state of our union and how we take that union forward to create an America and a world that works for all of us, not just for the corporations and the 1% who really are the beneficiaries of the policies that Donald Trump was describing and of the bipartisan agenda that has been enacted for the past many decades, and of which Donald Trump is really the latest and extreme expression. Before we dive in, I want to ask you as a first order of business to help build that movement and that resistance, to please share this discussion. Please share this.
What we need to do is quit saying this movement and say the Green Party. What the leaders need to do is quit trying to be coalition and say, hey, look here, get your asses in this Green Party. Where the hell else do you have to go? The Libertarian Party is created and ran by the Koch brothers in response to the in the 80s, in response to the Ronald Reagan revolution in the Republican Party, which was quickly quelled by the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan, and Bush took over and ran it for 12 years, and then Clinton after him, and then his son, and then Obama, and now Trump has took over, which is an independent sleeper cell type of individual. He is nationalist and American first. Trump is a mix between Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, and Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower. That is what Trump is. He is the Republican version of FDR. He's trying to save capitalism from itself by tearing down the oligarchy, because the oligarchy is killing capitalism. So he has to be seen as the one who is fixing it. And he's doing a great job of promoting the Republican Party as the party that is fixing things. And then in 2018, he's already laying the groundwork for 2018. And Democrats, all they can do is have an ugly face. So why the hell do we continue to perpetuate the duopoly, knowing that none of them support left-wing values or socialism? So this is how you should be talking, Dr. Stein, not this movement coalition crap. But let's listen.
This real state of the union. By liking and sharing this live stream to help get the word out, because as many of you know, the titans, the big CEOs, the big corporations that control our internet communications have shifted their so-called algorithms in order to suppress those voices of resistance. But by sharing ourselves and by expanding our networks, we can help overcome that censorship, which is part of our job that we must do in this day of attacks on our democracy, justice, and our future. So basically, we're here to reality check. I'll be speaking for about 10 or 15 minutes. I'll turn it over then to my illustrious, help debunk this false analysis of where we are and these false solutions that Donald Trump has put forward. Let me set the record straight just in regards to a couple of things that he said. You know, first he was thanking the frontline defenders on the front lines of fires and storms and floods and hurricanes. Well, you know, Donald Trump, where did all that come from? That's about climate change. And it's not enough to thank our workers after they have put their lives at risk and, you know, many of them lost their lives in the line of service and in the line of emergency, not to mention the victims in Houston, in Puerto Rico, where, you know, the numbers are off the charts of the excess mortality during the first month after that hurricane. You know, so the numbers of people, as well as the tragic deaths in the fires in California, not to mention, you know, huge numbers, and I should add the mudslides as well. And these are global phenomena where the life.
And we'll continue to listen. But what she should have did was this in speech form. I mean, she could have said all of this stuff, but she could have did it in speech form. You have to beat them at their game. You have to beat them at their game. Doing it in this form makes it seem as if you are just some person. We have to do this as a politician. Dr. Stein, you're a politician. I would have done it in a speech form, but this is good, you know, doing it in a chat format to get questions and comments. But what would have been better is to have it in speech form and take questions and comments and respond, you know, individually, as opposed to having the whole thing be a conversation, because this is supposed to be a response to the State of the Union, not a conversation about it. So
far greater than what we have experienced today. All of these are tragedies that are going to get much bigger. The world is seeing 65 million refugees, largely from wars and from poverty related to U.S. Domination, wars and economic domination and exploitation and colonialism. So, you know, 65 million people were on the move in the last year. That's going to turn to 650 million by the end of the century if these climate policies are allowed to continue. And Donald Trump is, you know, even making them worse than they currently are. So, you know, it begs to be noted that he was quick to thank those who are putting their lives on the line.
She's going on and on. No, hit the point, move on. Let's go to the next one.
Well, how are you going to do that when you're appointing, as head of Health and Human Services, one of the chief architects of the skyrocketing costs of our pharmaceuticals? I think the cost of insulin doubled, if I have my facts correctly here. The cost of insulin doubled to slash state and local investments. Those investments depend on state and local revenues and also on municipal bonds, that is, the ability of local governments to borrow the money in order to fund these projects. But because of changes worked into the tax cuts, those bonds are going to be very hard to come by. It's going to be very hard for state and local government to be able to put the money down in order to develop these infrastructure improvements. So this is actually, it's a terrible plan, and there's a wonderful investigative report that I should mention on the Real News Network that looks at what the impact of this infrastructure development plan is going to be on water resources. Essentially, it's going to privatize water utilities, both sewage treatment as well as the provision of drinking water. So, you know, we're hearing Donald Trump, the salesman, the snake oil salesman, in his dystopian vision of the future. So, you know, I know you don't need to be convinced that this is not a reliable person that you.
Okay, and if you want to hear the entire response as well as Ajamo Baraka's response, you can go to the Green News Network Facebook page. Just put in the search box Green News Network and do the first Green News Network, because there's another one that David Cobb created who is actually actively attacking us for even existing. And this is a so-called Democratic person. Eric Ryberg as well as David Cobb are supposedly Democratic, but behind the scenes, they are attacking us, you guys. I even had to pull my trademark of the name just to show people that we were here before they started. We were here in April. They started in December of 2016. But the whole point why I kept interrupting Dr. Stein, now I support Dr. Stein, and if she becomes the nominee, I'm going to support her as far as the Green Party nominee, but who I support is Ajamo Baraka for president and for the nominee of the Green Party. But if, in my view, that State of the Union response should have been in speech form from both her and Ajamo Baraka. In my view, it shouldn't have been in a discussion format. It should have just been a honest speech from both to hit each point's main points that the Republicans said that the American people benefit from. If you can find a hole in all those points, put the holes in the points. But just this long-windedness and speaking over and over about the same thing turns people off and eventually says, hey, I'm going to deal with the duopoly. So we got to do a better job of communication. We got to do it faster. And we got to get with the times and get with the Internet and how it moves. This is the problem with a lot of the Green Party old heads, is because they think they can navigate and network the Internet, but in reality, they actually lack in that avenue and do not want to deal with people who have this experience, because obviously the Green Party is being co-opted as well. But we are fighting, brothers and sisters, who are real Greens and who stand for the Green Party, the 10 principles and the 4 pillars. So my view is leave all the Democrat duopoly, everything, leave it alone and come home to the Green Party, get to the grassroots, build locally, branch out, break up the duopoly. That's what we need to do. So that's it on the State of the Green Union, episode 21. This was just a response as well to the State of the Union and how people reacted to it. And in all actuality, Jill Stein was right. Donald Trump is a great salesman. The Democrats are horrible at it. And everybody seems to want to jump on Trump's team because he's a good salesman, when in fact the Green Party needs help to get the co-opters out and take its rightful place as the left party of this country. So with that, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening in, and until we meet again at the appointed time. See you later, everybody. We'll be right back.